Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Menlo Park Dental Excellence, providing general dentistry with quality care to all patients, serving patients one at a time with no triple booking, flexible hours Monday through Saturdays, mpdentalexcellence.com.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Even as the Brown administration appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court over federal oversight of the state's prison system, the governor is asking state lawmakers for the money to meet the latest court order. The L.A. Times reports Governor Brown has asked the legislature for $450 million over the next 2 years to follow, more or less, the game plan state officials proposed to the court last month. Unless the U.S. Supreme Court intervenes, California must cut its prison population by 9,600 inmates by the end of the year. One of the federal judges involved in prison oversight has ordered the state has 90 days to move thousands of inmates, particularly vulnerable to valley fever, out of two Central Valley prisons where the fatal fungus is rife, Pleasant Valley and Avenal. 36 prisoners with valley fever have died in the last 6 years. The state argued it would be better to wait for a review by the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But the judge found prison officials have, quote, clearly demonstrated their unwillingness to respond adequately to the health care needs of California's inmate population. That's the case lawyers are making for mental health care as well in prisons. In a recent hearing in Sacramento, a federal court heard there aren't enough psychiatrists to meet the needs of 6,000 severely mentally ill patients in the prison system. KPCC's Julie Small reports.
When psychiatrist Joel Badeau went to work at the Salinas Valley Psychiatric Program, he was given 40 patients to manage. Then, three psychiatrists quit in rapid succession.
So all of a sudden, I was alone, brand new, with 60 patients. And my colleague across the hall on the other unit, he had 60.
Badeau told U.S. District Judge Lawrence Carlton about his experience during an evidentiary hearing on the state hospital programs for inmates. The hearing resulted from a recent motion filed in a decades-old lawsuit that's forced the state to improve psychiatric care for prisoners. Speaking after his testimony, Badeau said he and his colleagues worried that care was slipping.
We didn't feel we could safely take care of that many patients with the number of psychiatrists we had.
Officials with the Department of State Hospitals dismissed the notion of staffing problems in their facilities. At the hearing, Chief Deputy Director Catherine Radke Gaither testified that many of the staff leave for normal reasons, and when they do, the department will borrow staff from other facilities or hire contract psychiatrists while they recruit to fill the vacancy. Radke Gaither said, while psychiatrists' patient loads increased last year as part of budget cuts, the increase from 25 prisoners to 35 does not compromise care. But Michael Bean, an attorney for inmates, says there's evidence that's not the case. Another group of psychiatrists employed at Atascadero State Hospital complained to state officials in April that staff shortages there threatened inmates' care and created dangerous working conditions.
When you have the psychiatrists going public and saying, we're understaffed, twice, and in that same period you have two deaths, that maybe they're right. Maybe the psychiatrists who work there are right, that they've just pulled too much out of that program.
In November 2012, an inmate hung himself in his cell after waiting for weeks to be admitted to the Salinas Valley program. Another inmate at the facility died in March of this year from drinking too much water. The man suffered from a psychological condition that creates an unquenchable thirst. One psychiatric expert testified that a death from that condition was 100% preventable. Judge Carlton concluded the hearing by saying he'll soon issue a ruling in favor of the inmates and their attorneys. He said he'd ask a court monitor to investigate staffing levels at the Department of State Hospital's psychiatric units. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small in Sacramento.
If you've ever had to swap out an old car battery, chances are good it wound up in Southern California. There are just two places in the state licensed to strip lead from old car batteries, both near Los Angeles. State regulators with the Department of Toxic Substances Control forced one of them to shut down in April. The company involved went to court and got the go-ahead from a judge to restart. But as the California Report's L.A. Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas tells us, that's not the end of the story.
Exide Technologies in the city of Vernon went idle 2 months ago after state regulators recorded arsenic emission levels that could pose a health risk to nearby residents in an area that's already home to a lot of heavy industry. Roberto Cabrelas is an organizer with the Committee for a Better Environment in Los Angeles.
We're not trying to look at Exide as the only problem, but it's a problem that should be addressed when we're talking about very, very dangerous chemicals and metals such as lead.
Exide told state regulators they had relied on outdated information, and the company appealed the closure order. A Superior Court judge ruled that Exide posed no immediate threat and allowed the facility to reopen pending another court hearing this week. An Exide spokeswoman declined to comment beyond a statement saying the Georgia-based company is pleased with the ruling. But some L.A. County officials are not.
I think the county needs to get involved and get some kind of an injunction of some type.
Gloria Molina is an L.A. County supervisor. She says the county should identify all legal and administrative options available to stop Exide from continuing to expose residents to potentially harmful emissions. The full board will take up the issue today.
There's nothing wrong with many of these companies. You know, they provide jobs and so on in California, but they do have to follow the environmental laws of California, and this is one of the many polluting industries that are situated in Vernon.
For its part, Exide Technologies said it would continue to implement water and air quality control improvements. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
Nora McNeil never thought she'd be a midwife, but when a friend asked for assistance with a home birth, she said she'd help out. Almost 40 years later, McNeil has delivered well over 1,500 babies throughout rural Northern California. We meet her as part of our occasional series, What's Your Story?
I had one time I was heading up to Mount Shasta to help with a birth, and this was the end of January, and I-5, the freeway between Redding and Mount Shasta, was closed due to snow. So I was able to get to a little town called Dunsmuir, south of the city of Mount Shasta. We got to the home. The woman's contractions had completely stopped. I did an internal examination, and she was totally ready to deliver, but her body had shut down everything, waiting for me and her husband to get back. So we waited a little while, and her contractions started up again, and we delivered a baby. As I've aged, I realized that it was getting more and more difficult to get up at 3 a.m. and load my heavy oxygen cylinder and pack up my big bag of all my birthing supplies and travel to people's homes. So I created a kind of a suite area in my home. My home's a tri-level house, but I've had babies all over my house. I've had them on my front deck because we couldn't get inside in time. I've had them on my back deck because of a beautiful view and the city lights at night in the summer. Obviously, in the last couple years, I've stopped actually going out to people's homes, and they've been the busiest years of my entire almost 40 years of practice.
Lorraine Dechter with North State Public Radio produced this interview with Nora McNeil. That's the California Report for Tuesday, June 25th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org.